Buenos dias and grand rising, everyone. This is Dr. Joanna Wells, Dr. Reverend Joanna Wells, and with Illuminating Minds podcast. So happy to be here in the morning again, 10:30 a.m. Central Standard Time, Monday through Friday. We're on the air. Last Friday, I wasn't feeling too good, so we weren't on the air last Friday. So I totally apologize for that. But it's okay. Monday is always another day. So what has happened recently? Well, we got two kitty cats. We got two cats. They're really beautiful. They're the ones, I don't know exactly what type they are, but they're all black with, you know, white little whiskers, white little chest, and white little, little tips in the paws. Short haired, and they're just beautiful. And my daughter named her cat, and they're both boys, and my daughter named her cat Lucifer, but it's like Lucy Fur, F-U-R, Lucifer. And then my kitty is named Mystic, or Mystico in Spanish. So they both got some really cool spiritual, magical names, because these kitties are magical. And it was just really funny. I was looking at on Amazon. I wanted to get my witch's calendar. And usually I get the astrological calendar. The astrological calendar has a lot, is very accurate. But I was stumbling across the witchy calendar, and it had a cat that looked exactly like our cats. I was like, what? This is freaking crazy. So I guess, and it gets even better. They were born on, not on Halloween, but they were born in October, on October 7th. So they're Librans, they're Libra cats, and they were born on a very witchy month of the year. So yeah. Couldn't have asked for a better cat, but of course I have a way of manifesting things pretty freaking fast now, faster than usual. And there's a couple things I wanted to talk about, very, very interesting about, this is all about magic today, magical Mondays. So Mondays is going to be a magical Monday day, okay? And then the other days I will just figure out what days to do the on the podcast to what type of topic. But Mondays are magical Mondays. So pretty much it's a lot of cool, amazing things have happened. Let's put it this way, since I have finally weaned off completely off the I forgot what they're called, benzos. I just call them benzodiazepine, yeah. And that's something that I've been on for quite a while. And I wanted to talk about this, about inhibitors and how they affect the brain in preventing you from using the power of your magic, okay, to this, its full potential, okay? So what happens is, you know, for quite a few years, I had no idea what the hell was wrong with me. I didn't understand. And I started taking volume to go to sleep at night. You know, usually at nights I have just a really rough time going to sleep, and it's usually not every night. It's always like maybe during the time of, you know, the woman's moon, you know, the PMS or whatever. During that time, it's just my mind is just going crazy, and I just cannot go to sleep due to the hormonal thing. So I was prescribed volume, and this was back in 2017. Or late 2016, I just started, but it wasn't like an everyday thing. It was only like maybe a few times a month when I needed it. And so I would sleep just like I would sleep just lovely. And then I ended up kind of abusing it to a point where, you know, I just could not sleep next to my husband because he does snore. And I'm a very light sleeper anyway. So I would take it right before he would go to sleep so I can sleep with him every night. So I started taking it that like that, and it was just absolutely the worst thing I could ever do to myself. And then one thing led to another, and then eventually it went to chlorazepine, which is Klonopin, which is worse than anything I've ever had in my life. And you wouldn't even think so because it tastes like a sugar pill. It just doesn't, you know, and I would only take it once a week. And by that time, you know, my husband and I have been pretty much sleeping separately. You know, yeah, we do. I just cannot deal with the snoring. I just can't handle it. I can't handle it. So Anyway, I'm just a very light sleeper. I'm very sensitive. That's the only downfall about being also psychic, highly sensitive. You're sensitive to everything around you. And so when this was happening, I wasn't even thinking about it. Didn't think about it at all because it didn't affect my daily life. You know, it actually helped me even more so because, you know, usually I would be very nervous. If I were to do a live workshop before, I had stage fright. Okay, I could not even think about doing a workshop in person in front of people. I would faint, not faint, sorry, I would freeze. No, I wouldn't faint, but I would freeze and I would be like, what do I say? And I'd be so freaking scared. And the good thing about Klonopin, at least I could say, was I was able to do a workshop, not a problem. I did a couple of them, you know, one in November of 2000. Goodness, when was it? Was it 2019? Yeah, 2019. And then another one with Santos Bonacci, which was in October or November. God, I think it was, yeah, October of 2020. And it was just so freaking natural to me. Like I didn't have a problem. So, I mean, one thing I can say about Klonopin, it helped me with that. And I was able to just do my work and just, you know, be really focused. And I wouldn't, anything that caused any anxiety, I would be able to roll off. So, even though I wasn't taking it for anxiety purposes, I only took it for sleep, but it did a lot of good things for me as well. Okay. But the problem was, is I was not supposed to take it longer than a month. So I will mention this. Before I ever got into this stuff, this type of medicine or crap that I was taking, my manifestations were freaking went crazy, like fast speed on, like, it was like, it was a super ludicrous speed. And anything that I manifest, when I focus on things, boom, things would just happen so freaking rapidly, so fast. Okay. I didn't even have to wait around for the pot to boil, you know, the boiling pot to boil, or the water filled with pot to boil. Sorry, I'm drinking my coffee now. So I didn't have to wait around. Things would just happen so freaking fast. And the problem was when I was on those benzos, things were slowing down to a point where nothing would manifest. Either in time or at all. It was a mess. And I didn't understand what it was. I go, well, heck, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I'm meditating all the time. What the hell's going on? Why am I not manifesting things like I want to? And what happens is these types of medicines, okay? Now, I will mention they're okay for short time use, a very short time use, like a month, if even that. Okay, not long time use. Like when I was on the Klonopin, I was on it for almost a year. That is the worst thing I could ever do to myself. I was not supposed to be on it that long. So what happens is it stops the inhibitors from acting in a certain way. And the excitement part, the excitement is the fuel that makes your manifestations happen fast enough. When you're really focused on it, you get excited. You know, and then all of a sudden here comes, it's like the motor, you know, prepping up, like, and then before you know it, things just start to spiral out of control in a good way, and you're able to manifest things very fast because of that excitement part. If you don't have the excitement part, then you're going to have a very difficult time. So that's what it was doing. I was not getting the excitement anymore. Hardly. The excitement was really, really dimmed. Oh, you might hear a kitty meowing in the background, but it was really, it was really like dull. So I wasn't hardly getting excited much. And then I always felt kind of down and a little depressed. And, you know, it was not a good feeling at all. So now that I finally have come off the crap, I swear, within a couple days, I told my daughter, I go, you know what kind of cat I would want though? I mean, I would want a kitty that's black with white little whiskers, because I had a kitty years ago when I was a kid, 14 years old, and I had a cat that looked exactly like the cats that we have now, but he was fluffy. He was like a mixture with Angora. And so I was telling my daughter, I said, that's the type of cat I want. And within a couple days, these cats appear out of nowhere. And I'm like, oh, there goes my magical abilities again, just kicking ass now. So That's what I'm talking about. So if some of you are, you know, you're going through, you know, you're taking this types of medicine that really stops the inhibitors, slows them down, and you're trying to manifest, you're a magical person, and you're just trying to manifest things in your life, and you're just finding out that nothing is really happening, that is one of the reasons why, I would have to say. Because again, that excitement is the peace. It is a powerful peace that is going to help you to manifest your deepest wishes and your desires. That desire is so important. That burning desire is also fueled with the excitement in order to bring what you want into fruition. And without that burning desire or that excitement, it's not going to happen. And you're going to keep kicking yourself in the butt and say, nothing's working, magic isn't working, and blahzy blahzy. So if you're, in other words, if you're addicted to anything, it could be any type of drug that's stopping the inhibitors, any type of, you're constantly addicted to something, you know, even nicotine. Okay. Nicotine, maybe caffeine, or I don't know. No, caffeine doesn't really do much. It's just the inhibitors that just slows you freaking down. It's going to be a pain in the butt to make anything happen. But when you're free from that and you've been practicing magic for a very long time, manifestations, you know, not on autopilot, you know, you're practicing magic all the time, just letting you know, and you don't really know it. Okay. Some of you that are not magicians, you're practicing magic all the time and it's on, but you're on autopilot and you're just manifesting things that you don't want a lot. Okay. You're magical already because you're already gods and goddesses. You're already manifesting things, but you're manifesting things maybe that's on autopilot that you're not interested in or that you don't want at all. But to be a powerful magician, you own that stuff. You own that crap that you are manifesting all the time, and you're doing it intentionally. You're manifesting what you want intentionally. You know about the burning desire. You know about the power of imagination. You know about visualization and all of that. And you know, some of you might conjure up certain types of entities along the way to help you with your spell work. And you're able to manifest amazing things in your life. So that is something that I wanted to mention on this podcast. If for some reason you're on that path where, like, again, you're hooked on something, you're addicted to something, and you just want to manifest stuff and things are not working, look at what you're taking and ingesting in your body. And that's all I have to say. Before this stuff ever happened, we were traveling the world. We were traveling to Egypt. We were on a 2-month tour thing where we traveled for 2 months straight to Asia, Egypt, Dubai, England, and the Canary Islands, the Balearic Islands. I mean, we were just on a freaking roll, okay? That's how powerful I was before I ever got into those benzodiazepines. I was very, very powerful, and momentum was picking up greatly. Whenever I focus on something and I imagine what I wanted to do, I would make it happen within weeks. If it was like a big trip, it would happen within weeks. All of a sudden, I would get a lot of people that would sign up for my workshops or webinars, and boom, before you know it, we were off to Europe or wherever. And the problem was, again, when I got onto the hooked on those benzos, everything slowed down to a point where nothing happened at all. Nothing, hardly anything would manifest. And I would have to try even harder, constantly trying harder to manifest things. And it was my inhibitors that were just freaking, you know, completely shot. So that was the important lesson that I had to learn for myself. But the beautiful thing is, it was not some outside force that made me that brought me into a negative part of my life that pretty much shattered my life. Okay. It was nothing. It was not a curse. It was nothing negative. Cause I thought for the longest time, I don't know. I just came back from Egypt. And since I came back from Egypt from the first time, I had a real interesting past life experience that really broke my heart. And after that, when I came back, all of a sudden, things just started falling apart. Everything just started falling apart. Money wasn't coming in as much. YouTube was demonetizing our videos. I was making $4,000 a month from YouTube. And, you know, I had a lot of subscribers, 100,000 subscribers. And everything was falling apart. And it was like, what the hell is going on? And it was the fact that I was taking so many volumes when I was out traveling for 2 months to help me with my jet lag. I didn't realize the repercussions that I would have coming back. I had no idea what it would do to my body. So it took me quite a while to heal from that. And then I got hooked on some other stuff on another benzo, which was the doctor prescribed me for my sleep problem. So now that everything is, I'm pretty much cleaned off of all that crap. It's like anything that I focus on, I manifest so freaking quick. It's like fast, like, whoa, now things are magical. All right, cool. And now I'm listening to a really awesome teacher. His name is, I'm sure you heard of him, Asaraf, John Asaraf. I love him. I just love listening to him. And I'm listening to his NeuroGym. It's called NeuroGym, or My NeuroGym. And it's called Winning the Game of Business. And he's got one that's Winning the Game of Money. So I'm on my third week listening to him again. And I got his program when we were in Thailand. This is way back in 2015. And when I started listening to him, my whole life just started becoming extremely magical, even more so. And that's when we started traveling the world and everything. His stuff is so important, is so powerful. And the reason why is because in the program, when you listen to it every night, it's just mainly it's affirmations, constant suggestions feeding the subconscious mind of you are wealthy, you are a leader, you are powerful, you're successful, stuff like that. Constantly, every single freaking day, I'll be listening to him every night before I go to bed for about 9 weeks. And it's so powerful that when your subconscious mind, which is 90% of your mind, okay, which is the majority part of the mind, is being fed powerful suggestions on repetition every single night. You're successful, you're powerful, you're loved, you're the shit, you're a leader, you're all this. It will start to take on a life of its own, and it will start to soak it all in to a point where your whole life around you starts to change. You start to change first, your behaviors start to change first, therefore everything around you begins to change. And you start to realize that you are the creator of your own reality. But the problem is many of us don't realize that we're taking in, we choose to listen. Like say we choose to change the channel and watch what we want to watch. And it could be stuff that we don't want, stuff that upsets us, stuff that pisses us off. Realize that every single time you come across those types of channels, your subconscious mind that makes up 90% of your mind soaks that in, sucks it all in, all those suggestions every single time. And when you do it every day, because the subconscious mind only knows repetition, you are creating havoc in your life. You are seriously creating havoc. If you want to talk about evil magic, that's what you're doing yourself every freaking day. You are conjuring up evil magic every freaking day by watching the medias, the news, their mind movies. It's their mind movies that conjure up evil. Okay, if you want to call it evil, black, dark, the darkest magic ever, that is exactly what you're bringing into your dens, your living rooms, every freaking day because you're choosing that. And people don't realize it. And they're like, oh my God, all this bad stuff's happening, the pandemic, and wherever I go, it's hell. And of course, look what you just brought into your home every single day. You're watching stuff that upsets you, that bothers you. So therefore you're going to create exactly that. Just like what Hermes says, or Thoth says, the Atlantean or the god of Egypt, okay? What is above us is below us. What is within us is without us. Whatever happens inside of our mind, we're creating that around us every single time. So with a subconscious mind, when you know that you have that power, that magical force, and you being the hypnotist or the magician, you know, okay, you know what? I choose not to look at that. And I know people will send you stuff on Facebook, believe me. So many people have sent me things. Trying to watch this. Look what's happening. Oh my God. You know, I don't watch it. I choose not to. I'll see the link. I'll look at it and I'll say, no, I choose not to look at it because I don't want to invite it into my den. I don't want to invite it into my home. If I do that, then I know exactly my whole life will turn to shit. So I'm very religious when it comes to that. So anybody who sends me anything, even if it's supposedly good news, like, oh, look, we're winning. There's a protest going. I don't even want to see that because that's not my world. I didn't create that. I don't want to create that. That's not my world at all. Because as a magician or sorceress, you don't need to protest to get what you want in your life. All you need to do is go inside of yourself, go within, and connect with your higher self and the entities that are walking with you. And you got it made. You have your life completely set. We realize and recognize we are the power. We don't need to beg anybody to do things for us. Please, can you please? We need to protest and put signs. That is not the way of the sorcerer. Sorry. If you're in that mindset, then you're a sheep and you're a chattel, and you're going to continue being like that. And this is why there is the 3% people, and then there's the 90-something percent. The 90-something percent, how funny, that's the majority of the subconscious mind on the mind, do not know their own power. And even if you try to tell them about their own power, they don't want to listen. They want to play the victim because they want to blame somebody else all the time. And the hardest thing for anyone who wants to walk the path as a magician is acknowledging that if their life is screwed, if their life is beautiful, they created it. It's always them that created it. And they take the full on 100% responsibility for this. Okay. This is what we teach my husband and I with the Raven Moon Shadow Temple. We are I wouldn't say, if you want to say pagans are basically, they worship a bunch of gods. Okay. We don't worship any gods because we know we're gods. We don't worship ourselves. You know, we're given that power. Now we worship cats. We love our cats. If anything, we are cat worshipers. If anything, we love our cats very much. We love our kitty cats, but we don't worship a bunch of gods. We don't do that. If anything, we call the gods our brothers and sisters because that's what they are. They are brothers and sisters to us because we are that. We are them. So we teach our students about the power of the mind and what they can do to achieve their greatest, fondest desires in their lives. And we do a lot of workshops. And one last workshop we did was last year with Santos Bonacci. He was teaching syncretism, which was amazing, which basically proves that, yes, you know, there's magnetism. Magnetism exists. It's spiritual. It's on a spiritual level. And science is actually proving that magnetism seriously exists, that the power of the spirit is real. It's true. Okay. So he actually proved that with his teachings. And I thought, whoa, this is so amazing. And he is a big follower of Thoth's teachings. Okay. So, and then my husband and I, we ended up teaching a lot of transformation magic, if you will, utilizing the power of the mind and how you can, you know, perceive things differently, how you can make your hand grow, one hand grow and the other one not grow, and you actually see your hand freaking growing. You know, you could do whatever you want when you utilize the power of your words, speaking what your desires are into existence, and visualizing them. You can actually do that. And we played around with our students and they're like, wow, how the hell did that happen? You made our hand grow. What the hell? And we were doing a lot of cool magical stuff that does, you know, it's a lot of perception work. You know, like when you see certain types of objects on a piece of paper and, you know, you have to look for the square or look for a triangle or whatever, and you see a word inside, you know, it's the change of perception. So that's the type of exercises we were doing last year. So we're actually planning on another event, possibly in April or May, here in Mexico, in the Yucatan. We're actually planning to do something very similar to that, something with Santos Bonacci. And also, we're going to be doing more magic, though, more powerful magic. It isn't just the mind work, but we're going to be doing some magical work, magical rituals, how to utilize talismans, how to utilize the power of certain types of entities to help you. You know, we work with all types of spirits. It doesn't matter. Jinn, demons, angels, the Goetia, doesn't matter. We work with every single type of entities to help us on our path work. Because, you know, just like King Solomon, right? Solomon was a very powerful king, and he was a magician, and he conjured up all these amazing forces. Didn't matter if it was demonic, angelic, it didn't matter. He knew he was God. He had the power to conjure anything up. And well, he would command them to do his bidding. But we don't command the entities. We actually work with them as partners. You know, they're our friends, if you will. They're family. So once you're able to recognize that you have that power, your whole life will be magical, because now you're no longer susceptible to all the crap that's being thrown at you, hidden suggestions in your subconscious mind. So with that being said, I wanted to read something from the Think and Grow Rich book, and I'm going to read a little bit to you. This one really struck me as wow, because once I'm done reading this to you, you're going to understand how powerful you are, how powerful this subconscious mind is. If this man can do this, anybody can do this. Okay. So it's called Desire Outwits Mother Nature. As a fitting climax to this chapter, I wish to introduce one of the most unusual people I have ever known. I first saw him a few minutes after he was born. He came into the world without any physical sign of ears, and the doctor admitted, when pressed for an opinion, that the child might be deaf and mute for life. I challenged the doctor's opinion. I had the right to do so. I was the child's father. I too reached a decision and rendered an opinion, but I expressed the opinion silently in the secrecy of my own heart. I decided that my son would hear and speak. Nature could send me a child without ears, but nature could not induce me to accept the reality of the affliction. In my own mind, I knew that my son would hear and speak. How? I was sure there must be a way, and I knew I would find it. I thought of the words of the immortal Emerson. The whole course of things goes to teach us faith. We need only obey. There is a guidance for each of us, and by lowly listening, we shall hear the right word. The right word? Desire. More than anything else, I desired that my son should not be a deaf mute. From that desire, I never receded, not for a second. Many years previously, I had written, "Our only limitations are those we set up in our own minds." For the first time, I wondered if that statement were true. Lying on the bed in front of me was a newly born child without the natural equipment of hearing. Even though he might hear and speak, he was obviously disfigured for life. Surely, this was a limitation, which that child had not set up in his own mind. What could I do about it? Somehow I would find a way to transplant into the child's mind my own burning desire for ways and means of conveying sound to his brain without the aid of ears. As soon as the child was old enough to cooperate, I would fill his mind so completely with a burning desire to hear that nature would, by methods of her own, translate it into physical reality. All this thinking took place in my own mind, and I spoke of it to no one else. Every day I renewed the pledge I had made to myself not to accept a deaf mute for a son. As he grew older and began to take notice of things around him, we observed that he had a slight degree of hearing. When he reached the age when children usually begin talking, he made no attempt to speak, but he could tell by his actions that he could hear certain sounds slightly. That was all I wanted to know. I was convinced that if he could hear, even slightly, he might develop still greater hearing capacity. Then something happened, which gave me hope. It came from an entirely unexpected source. We bought a record player. When the child heard the music for the first time, he went into ecstasies and promptly appropriated the machine. He soon showed a preference for certain records. Among them, It's a Long Way to Tipperary. On one occasion, he played that piece over and over for almost 2 hours, standing in front of the record player with his teeth clamped on the edge of the case. The significance of the self-formed habit of his did not become clear to us until years later, for we had never heard of the principle of bone conduction of sound at that time. Shortly after he appropriated the record player, I discovered that he could hear me quite clearly when I spoke with my lips touching his mastoid bone behind the ear or at the base of the brain. These discoveries placed in my possession the necessary media by which I began to translate into reality my burning desire to help my son develop hearing and speech. By that time, he was making stabs at speaking certain words. The outlook was far from encouraging, but desire backed by faith knows no such word as impossible. Having determined that he could hear the sound of my voice plainly, I began immediately to transfer to his mind the desire to hear and speak. I soon discovered that the child enjoyed bedtime stories, so I went to work creating stories designed to develop in him self-reliance, imagination, and a keen desire to hear and to be normal. There was one story in particular, which I emphasized by giving it some new and dramatic coloring each time it was told. It was designed to plant in his mind the thought that his affliction was not a liability, but an asset of great value. Despite the fact that all the philosophy I had examined clearly indicated that every adversity brings with it the seed of an equivalent advantage, I must confess that I had not the slightest idea how this affliction could ever become an asset. However, I continued my practice of wrapping the philosophy in bedtime stories, hoping the time would come when he would find some plan by which his handicap could be made to serve some useful purpose. Reason told me plainly that there was no adequate compensation for the lack of ears and natural hearing equipment. Desire backed by faith pushed reason aside and inspired me to carry on. As I analyze the experience in retrospect, I can see now that my son's faith in me had much to do with the astounding results. He did not question anything I told him. I sold him and the idea that he had a distinct advantage over his older brother, and that this advantage would reflect itself in many ways. For example, the teachers in school would observe that he had no ears, and because of this, they would show him special attention and treat him with extraordinary kindness. They always did. His mother saw to that by visiting the teachers and arranging with them to give the child the extra attention necessary. I sold him the idea, too, that when he became old enough to sell newspapers, his older brother had already become a newspaper merchant. He would have a big advantage over his brother as people would pay him extra money for his wares because they could see he was a bright, industrious boy, despite the fact he had no ears. We noticed that gradually the child's hearing was improving. Moreover, he had not the slightest tendency to be self-conscious because of his affliction. When he was about 7, he showed the first evidence that our method of servicing his mind was bearing fruit. For several months, he begged for the privilege of selling newspapers, but his mother would not give her consent. She was afraid that his deafness made it unsafe for him to go on the street alone. Finally, he took matters in his own hands. One afternoon, when he was left at home with the servants, he climbed through the kitchen window, shining to the ground, and set out on his own. He borrowed his 6 cents in capital from the neighborhood shoemaker, invested it in papers, sold out, reinvested, and kept repeating until late in the evening. After balancing his accounts and paying back his 6 cents he had borrowed from his banker, he had a net profit of 42 cents. When we got home that night, we found him in bed asleep with the money tightly clenched in his hand. His mother opened his hand, removed the coins, and cried. Of all things! Crying over her son's first victory seemed so inappropriate. My reaction was the reverse. I laughed heartily, for I knew that my endeavor to plant in the child's mind an attitude of faith in himself had been successful. His mother saw in his first business venture a little deaf boy who had gone out in the streets and risked his life to earn money. I saw a brave, ambitious, self-reliant little businessman whose stock in himself had increased 100% because he had gone into business on his own initiative and had won. The transaction pleased me because I knew he had given evidence of a trait of resourcefulness that would go with him all through life. Later events proved this to be true. When his older brother wanted something, he would lie down on the floor, kick his feet in the air, cry for it, and get it. When the little deaf boy wanted something, he would plan a way to earn the money, then buy it for himself. He still follows that plan. Truly, my own son has taught me that handicaps can be converted into stepping stones on which one may climb towards some worthy goal unless they are accepted as obstacles and used as alibis. The little deaf boy went through the grades, high school and college, without being able to hear his teachers, except when they shouted loudly at close range. He did not go to school for the deaf. We would not permit him to learn sign language. We were determined that he should live a normal life and associate with normal children. And we stood by that decision, although it cost us many heated debates with school officials. While he was in high school, he tried an electrical hearing aid, but it was of no value to him. We believe this was due to a condition that was disclosed when the child was six. Dr. J. Jordan or Gordon Wilson of Chicago operated on the one side of the boy's head and discovered that there was no sign of natural hearing equipment. During his last week in college, 18 years after the operation, something happened which marked the most important turning point of his life. Through what seemed to be mere chance, he came into possession of another electrical hearing device, which was sent to him on trial. He was slow about testing it due to his disappointment with a similar device. Finally, he picked the instrument up and more or less carelessly placed it on his head, hooked up the battery, and lo, as if by a stroke of magic, his lifelong desire for normal hearing became a reality. For the first time in his life, he heard practically as well as any person with normal hearing. God moves in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. Overjoyed because of the changed world that had been brought to him through his hearing device, he rushed to the telephone, called his mother, and heard her voice perfectly. The next day, he plainly heard the voices of his professors in class for the first time in his life. He heard the radio. He heard the cinema. For the first time in his life, he could converse freely with other people without them having to speak loudly. Truly, he had come into possession of a changed world. We had refused to accept nature's error, and by persistent desire, we had induced nature to correct that error through the only practical means available. Desire had commenced to pay dividends, but the victory was not yet complete. The boy still had to find a definite and practical way to convert his handicap into an equivalent asset. Hardly realizing the significance of what had already been accomplished, but intoxicated with the joy of his newly discovered world of sound, he wrote a letter to the manufacturer of the hearing aid, enthusiastically describing his experience. Something in his letter, something perhaps which was not written on the lines, but between them, caused the company to invite him to New York. When he arrived, he was escorted through the factory. While talking with the chief engineer, telling him about his changed world, a hunch, an idea, or an inspiration, call it what you wish, flashed into his mind. It was this impulse of thought which converted his affliction into an asset destined to pay dividends in both money and happiness to thousands for all time to come. The sum and substance of that impulse of thought was this. It occurred to him that he might be of help to the millions of deaf people who go through life without the benefit of hearing devices, if he could find a way to tell them the story of his changed world. Then and there, he reached a decision to devote the remainder of his life to providing a useful service to the hard of hearing. For an entire month, he carried out intensive research. He analyzed the entire marketing system of the manufacturer of the hearing device and created ways and means of communicating with the hard of hearing all over the world for the purpose of sharing with them his newly discovered changed world. When this was done, he wrote a 2-year plan based upon his findings. On presenting the plan to the company, he was instantly given a position for the purpose of carrying out his ambition. Little did he dream when he went to work that he was destined to bring hope and practical relief to thousands of deaf people who, without his help, would have been doomed forever to deaf mutism. Shortly after he became associated with the manufacturer of his hearing aid, he invited me to attend a class conducted by his company for the purpose of teaching deaf mutes to hear and speak. I had never heard of such a form of education. Therefore, I visited the class, skeptical but hopeful that my time would not be entirely wasted. Here I saw a demonstration that gave me a greatly enlarged vision of what I had done to arouse and keep alive in my son's mind the desire for normal hearing. I saw deaf mutes actually being taught to hear and speak through application of the self-same principle I had used more than 20 years previously in saving my son from deaf mutism. So basically, the father of the son, who was deaf, he kept speaking in his subconscious mind over and over again, you are normal, you are fine, you can hear, you know, giving him suggestions since he was a little baby for many, many, many years. And the son started utilizing this technology without even really knowing or remembering. I guess he would think that the father would have thought, oh, he would have never remembered that, maybe. Maybe it was just input in the subconscious mind. But because of that, the son carried out exactly what the father did. to his own son years ago, which is to really input this belief system and burning desire inside the subconscious minds of the meat people. And because of that, it has completely changed the world as it did the sun's. Isn't that amazing? Just suggestions in the subconscious mind made a deaf child be able to listen, to create a new reality where all of a sudden here he has a device, he can hear, and now he's working for a company. Absolutely amazing. And this is in the book Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. And it's called Desire in this chapter. Very, very powerful chapter of the book. So I just wanted to share this with you to let you know, and there's a lot more going on here, that you have that by constantly listening every day, whether it's a hypnosis MP3, and we also have that as well, hypnosis MP3, every single day listening to it, every night before you go to bed, you just keep listening to it, and your subconscious mind is going to catch on, and you listen to it as up to 21 days to 30 days. 21 days is when your whole behavior changes, okay? And then 30 days is actually much more. You're going to start seeing more of results happening in your life. So this too is like the power of magic. When you're doing ritual work, you're creating an atmosphere for the conscious mind to be distracted, right? To focus on, oh, candles, ooh, the scent of basil, or, you know, of cinnamon and incense and so forth. You're getting the conscious mind, the little puppy part of the mind, you know, focused on other things while the subconscious mind starts to soak in your spell work, which is affirmations, speaking your words into existence. Like, I now create happiness into my life, you know, and then you got like, say, like pictures of the tarot cards. I use tarot cards a lot in my rituals. I'm always using the tarot. So that way my subconscious mind will suck in the symbols of the tarot every time I look at it, which is triggered by emotion. I get emotional, I get excited, and it does something to the subconscious mind to create a better reality. So this is to prove to you that just this chapter alone on Think and Grow Rich, that your subconscious mind, if you were taught, let's say, just like this man who the father that spoke into his son's subconscious mind for many years since he was a child, saying that you're not deaf, you're fine, you can hear now, you can hear. And all of a sudden, years later, the child can hear now. Absolutely amazing. Can you imagine if your parents, you know, you grew up in a very wealthy household, and your parents kept saying, you know, you're royalty, you're a king, you're a queen. And one of these days you will have these things. You will have the yachts. You will have the castles. You will have everything you want, my dear. And you're being told that constantly, every single day. Every single day you're being told that, which is feeding. These are suggestions that your subconscious mind is taking in. But many of the people that are normal, I guess you could say living in the norm, the sheep, their suggestions are the television set. Their suggestions, oh, you're sick. Oh, you're going to get sick. You're going to get hepatitis. Oh, you need vaccines. Oh, you need this. You need that. You know, like you're less than and you need their help. So the parents, the kids, they grow up like that. Okay. So therefore they live in a world of hell or a havoc of just a world of just chaos. Right. But I'm here to tell you that you have the power to control the suggestions that are coming into your mind every single day by changing the channel. What do you want your subconscious mind to hear? Do you want it to hear about war? Do you want to hear about poverty? Do you want it to hear about lack and starvation? If you want to do that, then that's what you're going to create in your reality. Me, it's a religion to me. I will not look at anything anymore that brings me disappointment, makes me sad, makes me mad, makes me pissed. What's the point of that when I'm going to be bringing that into my life? And it's not so much of us looking at it that will do anything. It's responding to it. When we respond to it, guess what happens? We create that. We create a trigger. There's a trigger that's created within us that will bring about this stuff into our life. It will come right into our subconscious mind. And therefore, we create a world of just garbage. Okay. So in the Think and Grow Rich book, if you've never read it, I highly suggest get a freaking book now. Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill was written over 100 years ago. He was taught and mentored by Andrew Carnegie, who was a billionaire who created, I believe, the American Steel. He was, I believe, he was Scottish. Very, very rich, wealthy man who taught Napoleon Hill how to think. So of course the sheep, their victims are like, oh, the rich, they have everything, and they do this to us, and they do this to me, and oh, poor little me. No, you do this to yourself because you are not properly trained. This is what Raven Moon Shadow Temple do. We train our students and members to become the living gods and goddesses that they truly are, to take full control and responsibility of their lives through the power of magic, through the power of hypnosis, through the power of suggestions. That's what we do. We turn everything around because in order to make this world a better place, it has to be run by powerful gods, right? And that's why a lot of the billionaires are the gods. Why? Because they know how to operate. And I'm sure my husband has some things to say on that level, on neuroscience.
Well, there's a bunch of things I can actually talk about.
Good part of the book.
But just before I get into a few things, what I was just doing there while the missus was chatting away, she's also going to find this interesting as well, because we've been talking about bringing some celebrities on our shows, and I've actually just reached out to a couple of them. So I'm not going to mention any names just as yet, but these people are actually well known. They're out there, and as soon as we bring them in and introduce them, you're going to go, whoa. So we will advertise it ahead of time, just to let you guys know. So that's in the pipeline. So we've got some people for the people. These are not celebrities like the these are not the Illuminati kind of celebrities that we've all been finding out, but these are people's people for the people kind of celebrities. When I say celebrities, that they're people in sort of positions now that they're trying to help change humanity. They help to do their bit for everything, you know, that's happening out there, especially the way life is. But yes, I'm going back to what Drew was saying. You are more powerful than you know, okay? And the thing is, the elite, they fear the day you actually discover that. So what we're doing is we're actually teaching people. So that's in itself just amazing. Because once we found out all this, once when we woke up years ago, some people wake up faster than others. But it's not an issue. But we're still in the timeline of the awakening. This is the grand awakening, because a lot of people are waking up around the world faster than ever. Because, come on, look at the world now, right? And then you've got all these things happening, and they're trying to say this and trying to say that and trying to get you to do certain things, and you're thinking, well, that's a big, huge contradiction. You can do this, but you can't do that. What the hell? You know all this stupid crap that I'm talking about? But yeah, it's all to do with the mind. Everybody is being distracted by the external things. That's why the elite know this. The elite know this. I mean, they do their little magic spells. I'm sure you guys will have heard of Bohemian Grove, where they have this big, huge stone statue. It looks like an owl. It's actually supposed to be a Moloch or something like that, the big demon Moloch or something. But they do all their things. I mean, there was a video once that we saw outside CERN, you know, the CERN, the collider, the big kaleidoscope thing, where they have this big huge statue. It looks like the Indian god Vishnu, out the front with all, is it Vishnu or the other one? The one with all the arms.
Shiva.
Shiva, yeah. And obviously there was a human sacrifice right in the middle of it. Right there in CERN. They were all dressed up and everything, and there was evidence. There was a guy that took a video and saw it and ran off. And but yeah, I can quite believe this is what the Illuminati do. So they do that, right? And then they say, oh, stay away from witchcraft, stay away from magic, stay away from all this. This is evil. And then they start throwing the Christian shit at you, saying, oh, you'll go to hell if you do that. You won't get into heaven. Well, it's not. It's actually our God-given right, because everybody on this planet as a human has these powers. We all have all this amazing, these amazing abilities. It's just that we haven't been trained. When you were born, you never came with a manual. So what we do is we have to find out how, because the elite obviously has hidden all this knowledge, but this knowledge does get through by wisdom keepers, word of mouth. And there's other ways that the information gets out. So they can burn all the books, they can hide all their stuff, and they can hide it in the crypts in the Vatican or wherever they hide all the scrolls from ancient times that have the truth, the real history, and how to tap into that power that everybody has. It's all within, and you can manipulate it. Don't be scared. Do not fear it, because you are allowed.
It's your birthright.
It's your birthright. You are here to experience life to its fullest. You are here to play. Just like a little child. You can be 70-year-old and you can be still skipping down the street. You're here to experience life. You're not here to come, be a slave, be tortured, and then be kicked back into the grave. No! What kind of life is that? What a load of shit.
What a load of shit.
You've got to think. You've got to take control. Now is the time. Stand up, take control. Just like last week, I don't know if my wife put that link in, that time with that video where, oh, I've had enough, I'm not going to take this anymore kind of thing, that video that was out there a while ago. But yeah, this is the Great Awakening. Everybody's waking up. They're realizing the BS. And people are looking for answers. And we do have some. Because we have put in our time, money, energy, and I'm saying a lot. We've lived the life. We're still living the life. I mean, we've had the yachts, we've had the big houses with the pools, and we've had a nice cars, and we've travelled around the world several times. I mean, we did a 2-month world tour one time just because we could. We felt like it. We thought, okay, let's go.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not being a big head. I'm not trying to show off or nothing, but I just want you guys to have the ability to do the same. And then maybe we could say, oh, yeah. One day we could meet in the Bahamas with a cool drink.
Yeah.
You never know. Oh, it's you guys. Hey, hello. I recognize you from...
Yeah.
Facebook and YouTube and all these other places. Actually, we actually get that all the time. At least my wife does. And
your brain train wave.
The brain, yeah. Also, yeah, she's just telling me from across the room there. I got to mention about my brain training because what I'm in the middle of doing is creating 8-dimensional brain training on the correct frequencies. You see, you've got a lot of stuff out there that's free on YouTube, but you don't know what's in it. You do not know what's below the scope of hearing. Has it been manipulated? They could say, oh, yeah, you can be healthy and wealthy, and you could be listening to it every day for a year, and you wonder why nothing's happening, because it's not created in the correct way. There's certain ways your brain will only listen. There's certain ways your subconscious will only listen. But you have to get the conscious mind out of the way to program your unconscious, your subconscious. So what I do is I create specific frequencies that does exactly that. And there'll be ones for like the wealth, there'll be ones for health, there'll be ones for weight loss, which I'm going to be listening to because I've got a little bit chunky since we're living in Mexico. Too many tacos. But yeah, it's all to do with frequencies. It's all to do with hitting that right frequency. Speaking of frequencies, part of it is these days everybody's listening to the music, right? All this mainstream music, which is not some of the it's not good because it's broadcasted at 440 hertz. That itself will create chaos in your brain. You might not notice it. You might not realize it while you're listening. Yeah, that sounds good. That's cool. That's my jam. That's my song. Come on. Yeah, you'll enjoy it. Yes, of course. But the frequency it puts out keeps you in that box. This is what I'm talking about, the 440. It just bounces around your brain. But if you go to the correct frequency, which is 432 hertz, that's the sweet spot your brain needs. So I've programmed everything on 432 hertz. I'm also integrating all of my audio on 432 hertz. So that's the best way to program your mind with these, because it has to be done subconsciously. Hypnotherapy is one way, which is what my wife does. But I do the subliminal recordings, audio and visual. So you can have an MP3 or an MP4. There's ones where you could plug in and listen while you're sleeping. There's ones where you can just say, take half an hour out or an hour out and then just meditate on it. Or there's visual aids, which will excite your body, because what it is, it's all to do with the feeling inside, which will give you the programming on the visuals. So whatever you put into your mind, you have to feel that way. And that's what will reprogram, because it's repetition that gets you into that mode. Because if you think, oh, well, I've only tried a couple of times, there's nothing happening, screw it, I won't do it again. No, you have to keep on it every day. Every day. Try it. And then for a month, or at least after 2 weeks, you'll start to see little tiny things you might notice. 3 weeks, 4 weeks. And then once you get into it after that, after 30 days, you must really start to see some changes. I can do customized ones, which is actually a brilliant way of doing things, because everybody is different, right? So everybody has different needs, different ways of doing things. So we can customize certain things if you need for that. But yeah.
Right, so definitely, it's very powerful. It's all about the subconscious mind. Read about it. There's a good book. I believe it's from a man named Joseph Murray or Murphy. And it's about the power of the subconscious mind. That's another good book to read, The Power of the Subconscious Mind. And by Neville Goddard, there's a book called The Power of Imagination. And that I'm going to be talking about tomorrow morning, I'll be moving more into imagination. That's a faculty, even in the book of Think and Grow Rich, that we don't really use. Many of us don't use it, but a lot of magicians use it. We have to use it, because when we do our magical spell working, imagination is crucial. We have to imagine what we want in our lives. We have to write it down what we want in our lives and so forth. So, you know, that's the only problem. And according to this book, it basically says that our only limitation within reason lies in the development and use of our imagination. We have not yet reached the apex of development in the use of our imaginative faculty. We have merely discovered that we have an imagination and have commenced to use it in a very elementary way. So imagination, the major billionaires know about this, folks. They know about the power of imagination. Why do you think they have all these amazing things, planes, trains, whatever, helicopters, mansions? Because they imagine it every freaking day of their lives. They're constantly seeing themselves with it all the time and imagining it. And then they're probably doing affirmations every day and listening to something every single day to suck in the suggestions every day for the subconscious mind. You're rich, you're wealthy, you have a house, you have cars, you got a plane, you know, all these things being soaked into the subconscious mind, and it will start to create exactly what it is that you want. So what I highly suggest everybody, pull away from the news, pull away from what's going on out there. Who gives a shit? Sorry, excuse my French. Who gives a crap what goes on out there? That's their world. That's the world of, you know, the media, the news. They want you to see that. They want you to create that because they want you to believe that what they're projecting is real, and many of it is not real. 90% of it is not real. Okay. So start watching mind movies. There's one called World King. He's really good. World King is amazing. Watch him on YouTube. World King has a bunch of vision. It's a mind movie of wealth, yachts. I mean, good things with a lot of powerful affirmations. You're rich, you're wealthy, you're loved, you're healthy. Watch that. Spend more time watching that instead of the news. And trust me, your whole life is going to change completely. Okay. Yes. Hi, Hannett and Sam and Emmanuel. Body, brain, memory, knowledge, intelligence, intellect, and consciousness are 7 level of wisdom. Body is list and consciousness is highest. Wonderful. And it is. It's consciousness. And your consciousness is the subconscious mind, the superconscious mind. Now, the superconscious mind is your magical genie. That is when whatever the subconscious mind soaks in, the suggestions and affirmations, it brings it up into the superconscious mind. And the genie says, your wish is my command. I'm going to create whatever it is that is inside that subconscious mind, and I'm going to put it out there and project it into your outer world. Okay. So as magicians, we recognize this, the power. And by the way, speaking of magic, today is Imolg or Candlemas, February 1st. So happy February 1st, everyone. This is one of the lesser Sabbats. Okay. And it is about the transition of, you know, the sun's transition from moving from the winter months of just relaxation, chill, nothing really going on, to moving into a peak of spring, just a peak of spring, where things are starting to grow now, expand. Okay, so in the ancient days, many of the pagans, they would celebrate Imolg. The farmers would celebrate Imolg because it was a time of the spring was coming near. And if you see in England and Scotland and many of these other places, they would light a candle in the window. A candle in the window, basically saying, you know, just letting everyone know the acknowledgement that we are moving into the time of spring. You know, now full on spring would be Ostara, which is on March 21st. So what does that mean for us as magicians? It means the sun is becoming is starting to move. It's getting stronger, and it is a very magical time to utilize your faculties right now, your magical faculties of imagination, visualization, journaling. Yes, I'm a sorceress. I say sorceress. Yes, I am a magician. I've been a magician for many years, since I was 17. So, and I practice many shades of magic. It doesn't matter. Magic is magic to me. I'm not a fluffy bunny witch. I am not a fluffy bunny at all. I work on the left-hand path. I work with the dark arts. I work not evil, like, you know, I don't hurt children and animals, none of that. But I do work with the dark energies, and I work with the light energies, several types of energies as a magician, because I know how to transmute, you know, my imagination, my spell work, into bringing forth my manifestation in my life and in reality. So it's alchemy. That's what it is. Magic is alchemy. It's being able to translate what you see in the higher mind and transmute from the subconscious mind, the superconscious mind, and bringing it down into this, the 3D matrix, and knowing you're in control all the time. You are the one in control all the time. There's no mysterious force outside of you that's doing anything to you. It is you always doing it to yourself. So that's what makes a sorcerer and a magician. Compared to other magicians or Wiccas or pagans, you know, they're like, oh, it's according to God and goddess to make my life better. No, that's not what we believe. We are living gods and goddesses. We know we are the ones creating our own reality. It doesn't depend on any other factor but our own factor. So that's basically it in a nutshell. So if you want to come on down for Emulk tonight, we're going to have a celebration at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. You just go to ravenmoonshadowtemple.com/meetings to donate if you wish to take part. And basically, we're going to use the power of the sun today of Emulk to clean out the closet. First is cleaning out the closet, banishing all the negative stuff in our lives. And, you know, it could be curses, it could be addictions, it could be, you know, a bully, someone who's bullying you. You know, we're taking out the trash, basically. That's right. That's right, Hannah. You are God. We are all God. We are all God. We are all goddess, if you wish to call it. We are all sparks of that one, that source. Exactly. That's exactly what we see. Exactly. So in this magic that we're going to do is taking out the trash, getting rid of the things that no longer serve us. So it's good to have like a list, a piece of paper, and a cauldron or a coffee can to burn the list of the things that you don't want. And then we're going to use the power of the sun to create what it is that we want. You can conjure up any type of entities that you wish. We're going to be conjuring up our own entities to basically, you know, bring in to help us with our manifestations. Okay. And it's entirely up to you what you want to bring in. And we're going to be meeting on Zoom, and we're going to record everything too. So that's going to be the beauty of it. So this is a very powerful time to do ritual work right now. And then if you want things to manifest very fast, this is the time to do it, folks. This is the time to do it. And then we're going to meet another time, possibly on full moon. So it's like every month we're going to be doing some magic. So it's a good idea to jump on board. Go to ravenmoonshadowtemple.ning, N as in Nancy, I, N as in Nancy, G.com, ning.com. And that is our temple. So you can go ahead and go in there and stay up to date with all of our events that's coming up. And that's pretty much it. So much love and light. And I'm also going to be doing some readings as well. So for February 1st, for the ritual, I'm going to throw in some divination, some readings about what 2021 is going to, the news, whatever 2021 has for us. It depends on how many people are going to be showing up. So you get to pick a pile. It's like a pick a pile type of reading, what pile suits you best. And then I'll be able to read from that. So it'll be a lot of fun. Yeah. Oh, you would like to join the concert. Okay, I guess that's my husband's concert. His concert would be the DJ work, you know, DJ music. When that time comes, for sure. Maybe we'll do that on full moon. Who knows? It would definitely be night. So yeah, we always meet in the evening. We don't meet in the day. The day we just do our podcast, and then at night we'll have an evening meeting. So you're all invited to come. It would be so lovely to have you. Whether you come or not, we're still moving forward anyway. We're doing our ritual work anyway, because we know it's a very powerful time. Again, we're open to all types of entities and who we work with, and to bringing what it is that we want into our life, which is extremely crucial. So you got to think about, the elite are doing exactly that, but they're doing their stuff in a very very dark way. I don't even want to say it on the podcast here, but it's something that we have nothing to do with. To me, that's just, you want to do something that counteracts all that, if anything. Instead of waiting for a hero to save you, you have to save yourself. All right, everyone, much love and light. See you tomorrow morning. Thank you so much for coming and joining our podcast. Please spread this podcast far and wide. And what we do is we are going to upload it onto the podcast. Even though it's live, we're going to upload it, and then you can go ahead and share it with everyone else. You're all welcome to come tonight, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. Go to ravenmoonshadow.com.